You're listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust.
Hello, my name is Kevin Satisabal, and welcome to another episode of The Blind Spot. Today, I'll be talking to Paralympic cyclist and gold medalist Laura Facci, MBE. She will be competing in the 2020 Tokyo Paralympics and will be defending her title after winning gold in Rio 2016. Laura is also a Greater Manchester Sight Loss Council member. She has been campaigning passionately about improved access to sport for blind and partially sighted people, and she was a speaker at the council's recent webinar on inclusive sports. I began by asking Laura about her passion for sport and how she got started.
I think my love of sport in general comes from my family. We're an incredibly sporty family. The story I always tell is when I was about 7 or 8, I was rummaging around in my mum's wardrobe trying on her high heel shoes, and I came across a pair of her old running spikes because she used to be a runner. And I kind of asked her, you know, what are these, because they looked a bit weird, and she was telling me, and that kind of sparked, well, I'd like to give that a go. So mum and dad kind of looked into finding an athletics club for me to go along to, and so for all through my kind of childhood and teenage years, I did athletics. And my brother, I've got two brothers. My middle brother, who's, I'm the youngest, and then there's Roy, who's 3 years older than me, and Mark, who's 12 years older than me. And Roy came along, Roy, my middle brother, he came along to athletics too. So we both did running, middle distance running and stuff. And then when I kind of about 16, 17, I just fell out of love with it, really. Went off to university, kept myself fit. I've always, you know, I love kind of exercising. So even though I wasn't competing in athletics, I was still doing swimming. I'd still go out for run, you know, jogging with my friends and things like that. But it was while I was at university, my second year of uni doing physiotherapy, I was talking to a friend who was telling me about someone she knew who had been to the Beijing Paralympics as a runner, a sprinter, and he hadn't been very successful at the games, and so he'd lost his funding and switched from athletics to tandem riding. And I'd seen tandem racing like on the TV at the Beijing Paralympics, and I'd been like, that looks well cool, I'd like to give that a go, but just don't know how to get involved. And then suddenly, you know, 9 months later, someone was saying, oh, I know someone who's doing it, and I was just like, I'd love to do that. Do you think, you know, you could ask him how he got involved? And so she sent him a message, and a couple of weeks later I got contacted by the development coach, British Cycling, saying that my contact details had been passed on to her, and saying I was interested in getting on a tandem, and she knew someone who lived not too far away that could, you know, take me out. And so I jumped at the opportunity. A couple of weeks after that, you know, I went on the tandem and it went really well, and we did a couple of races. And then within about 6 weeks of all this happening, I was selected for my first World Championships, which was a bit crazy and bizarre, really.
Wow.
But that was back in 2009, and I haven't really looked back since. And that guy who sort of got me involved is now my husband, so.
Oh, that's a nice story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. And
it's quite nice because he's still involved as well, so we do both, you know. He's visually impaired as well, and he races on the back of a tandem with a male. He's far more sprint based, whereas I'm endurance. So but it's quite nice that we've both been to 3 Paralympics together, and well, 2, and I'll go into our 3rd.
Yeah, that's amazing. In terms of training, have you ever experienced any kind of barriers to accessing sport because of your VI, or what's that experience been like for you?
I was very lucky, you know, I jumped at this opportunity to give tandem riding a go, but it's not that easy to access, like, or especially wasn't at the time, you know. It was just this opportunity, and if I hadn't taken it, I don't know how I would have got involved. There are, especially now, I'm becoming more aware of, you know, there are sort of pockets of clubs set up around the country that have tandems that you can go along and have a go. There's definitely, I think since London Paralympics, there's been a big surge in kind of awareness. I know Sport England have like a website now where you can log on and work out where your local kind of disability sport sort of setups are. So hopefully things are improving. We are slowly seeing more and more people, more and more visually impaired, especially girls. We could, you know, seeing more and more getting involved, which is great. I'd love to see more. I'd love, at the moment, you know, there's only one or two kind of within Great Britain kind of, and I'd love to be able to compete properly, you know, at home. I have to travel abroad, especially for the road. I have to travel abroad to race. And it'd be amazing if we could do that at home as well.
And is that just because there aren't enough people getting involved?
Yeah.
So there's not.
It is hard though. I don't, you know, I even at this stage, I still think there's a real, because you are reliant on a sighted person to help you, and especially with tandems, they're not cheap. Any sort of cycling, it's not as easily accessible as say running, where all you need is a pair of trainers and someone willing to run alongside you. It's not as easy as that. And I do get that, but you know, I'd love there to be more opportunity for people to
get involved. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does it work then? I guess you have a sighted pilot, and how, yeah, have you been working with her for a long time?
Yeah. So I obviously go on the back of the tandem, and then there's a fully sighted athlete on the front, and we both, you know, we both train, we're both full-time athletes, we both put in as much kind of, you know, power on the pedals, we're both working as hard as possible. You know, she also has to steer, and on the road she's in control of the brakes and the gears as well, so all I need to do is pedal, kind of thing. Training with Corinne now since we first got on a tandem together in 2013, so it's quite a long time now. There have been, within that, I have run with other people at different times, but we've just always ended up back together. So this will be our second Paralympics as a pairing.
So you did your training, and then you went to London. That must have been amazing, competing on home turf.
Now, when I look back at, you know, it was an incredible experience to be part of, but I didn't enjoy it particularly. I kind of dreamed of sort of winning a gold medal in London, and became quite fixated on it, and I forgot to sit back and actually appreciate how fortunate I was to be where I was. And because I then didn't achieve what I kind of had set myself to achieve, I felt like I'd failed. So at the time, it was a very emotional, stressful kind of environment.
How did you kind of pick yourself up from that? Because I know you went on to do a world championship the next year.
Yeah, I think I was a lot of support from my friends and family, especially like Neil, my husband. Well, he wasn't my husband at the time, but he is now. He was pretty supportive, although it was quite hard at times because he won gold in London. So it was quite like I couldn't get away from the fact that, you know, he'd achieved his dream and I hadn't, and I kept getting reminded of it. So it sort of almost compounded it at times. I think when you've got a visual impairment and you grow up kind of with a visual impairment from a very young age, you do develop a level of resilience, especially in mainstream education. There are always kind of little setbacks and kind of barriers that get put up that you have to problem solve and think outside the box. And so I think I've just developed quite a high level of resilience from that, possibly. I did get quite a lot of support from a sports psychologist for a while who helped me kind of shift my mindset, and start to kind of think about the processes rather than the outcome. So where I, in the past, I've been fixated on gold medals and thinking that gold medal, it's either gold medal or nothing. It's now I've made a much bigger shift about focusing on the processes rather than the outcomes. So if I get all my processes correct, then the reward will come. So now I don't I want to win. I can't get away from that fact, but I focus on the technique. Yeah, and the things I can control, because you can't control your competitors at all. You can't guarantee what they'll do. You don't know how that, you know, what they'll show up or anything. So it's about focusing on what I can control and what I can do.
That's a really interesting mindset. Do you think that's helped beyond sport?
Completely. I use it on a day-to-day basis now, like even to the point, you know, when you're out and you focus on, like, if I'm making a new journey that I don't really know, and I'm sure most sort of visually impaired people have been here, they've been there at some point where you get to somewhere and it's suddenly not what you're expecting because there's roadworks or something like that, and you're like, oh, completely sort of stuck. Instead of panicking, it's like you just go into that process of, what can I do? Okay, I don't know what I can do, but I can ask someone for help, or, you know, you just kind of have to think logically rather than
emotion.
Yeah,
definitely. So you obviously worked hard because you got to Rio, and
yeah,
that must have been an amazing feeling.
Oh, it, even now when I think about it, it gives me goosebumps. Like, it was incredible. I don't know how we did it. I genuinely don't know how we did it, but we won the pursuit, and it was amazing to, because my parents and family had all come out to Rio, and they were in the crowd. So, like, to be able to celebrate with them it's something I'll never forget. Just especially, like, my family are, you know, sort of my biggest supporters. Like, there's no way I could have got to where I've got without their help. Yeah, so it was very special to be able to celebrate that with them, and for them to witness it and be part of it.
And obviously now you're going back to defend your title. What's this process been like over the last, especially with COVID?
It's been different. It's very different. It's funny. So pre-COVID, I really stopped enjoying cycling. I was counting down the days to Tokyo to then retire. But I just didn't want to do it anymore. And so when the initial announcement came that was being delayed by a year, I was like, I don't, you know, I almost retire, because I was like, I can't do this for another year. I don't know how I can. I just wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't happy. So what I did during the first lockdown was basically, I said to my coach, look, I don't want a program. I don't want any kind of specific training. I just want to focus on me doing what I want to do and trying to enjoy it and see where that takes me. So we did that, and it's genuinely the best thing that's ever happened to me. Like, I've come out of COVID fitter and stronger and happier than I've ever been, and it shows on the bike, like on the tandem. Both myself and Corinne are in the form of our lives, really. And we both appreciate what we're doing a lot more, I think.
How does the training, like, how does the schedule and all that kind of compare from before COVID to how you guys have been training in the last year?
We realised that we don't necessarily need to do the same training and train together as much. So now I do a lot more of my training on my own on a turbo. In some ways, people might look at it and think it's actually quite boring and lonely, because I'm training on my own and I'm not going out on a tandem, which is what I race on. I'm just on a static bike, well, a solo bike, which on a turbo, which is like an A-frame that provides resistance to the back wheel of the bike, so that you're static and you're held still. Because I can't, even now, I can't ride a solo bike on my own. I can't balance it because I've got no vision whatsoever at all. I never learned to ride a bike without stabilizers anyway, which I always quite find, you know, a random fact about me. I'm a tandem cyclist, but I can't ride a bike. The other thing I've done a lot of work on because it was myself and my husband at home through COVID, and we were training together. I did a lot more gym work than I used to do, and we converted our conservatory in our house into a home gym. So because Neil is far more sprint, he does a lot more strength work. So we bought quite a bit of gym equipment and set up our own gym, and it's made me a lot sort of stronger and more rounded an athlete, because it's also a little bit different. All my training is not just bike based, there is a bit of variety to it. Yeah, we do like one or two tandem sessions a week, one being track and one being road, because I do both disciplines. I race track cycling and then road cycling as well.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. What kind of message or tips would you have for any visually impaired people trying to get into sport?
I just kind of say, don't be afraid to take the opportunity. Like, you might be a bit apprehensive, you might, you know, if you've, especially if you've not done it before, but just give it a try and explore try different sports. There's so many different, there's obviously your straightforward sort of cycling, running, swimming, but there's so many other options as well. There's blind football, blind cricket, so don't be afraid to blind tennis, that's a new one, blind baseball, there's so many options. Like, just get stuck in and try everything. Like, you will find something you enjoy, and that's, I think, again, that's the biggest lesson I've learned, is that sport isn't sport if you don't enjoy it. It just becomes a chore, and that's not fun.
Thank you so much, Laura, for coming on and sharing your story. If you want to watch Laura at the Paralympics, she will be competing on the 26th of August and the 28th of August. Both races will be broadcast at 2 a.m. UK time, so you have to get up nice and early to watch the race. And on the 31st of August and the 3rd of September, she'll be competing again, but both of these will be afternoon races. From all of us at TPT, good luck, Laura.
You've been listening to The Blind Spot, a podcast from Thomas Pocklington Trust. If you'd like to find out more about what we do at TPT, check out our website. Go to www.pocklington-trust.org.uk. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss the next episode. Thank you for listening.